Interesting to hear that soundbite about you don't mess with Texas. You can go do a Texas accent. You got to put that lower jaw out like that. You know, you got to say, sir, you don't mess with Texas. Do you understand where you are? You're in Texas. This is Texas, sir. I'm going to do a quick survey here. 504-260-1870. It's anonymous. Mm-hmm. Texas, neighbors of the West. Do you love them? Do you hate them? There ain't no middle ground.
I've got no problem with them. Chile, the Astros,
well,
I'm good.
You didn't have to answer. I'm just saying, you didn't have to answer. But ask the audience. You love them or you hate them when it comes to Texas? Because you don't mess with Texas. I'll tell you that right now. We'll talk to J.P. Morrell when we come back, New Orleans City Council member. Just let me know. Be honest. 504-260-1870. No texting and driving when it comes to Texas. Do you love it or do you hate it? Let me know. We'll be back in a flash, WWL. It is currently 8:13 on this Monday morning, August 4th. And as you heard Peyton Malone from WWL's Louisiana Weather Forecast Center, whatever they're calling it, saying the tropics, not tropics, but I guess, yeah, the Atlantic and so forth, starting to heat up a little bit. And that happens at this time of year, right? So it's the time of year where we have to start paying attention to hurricane season and tropical development, but nothing expected to affect us at all. We were scheduled to talk to Councilman J.P. Morrell, and we are not going to talk to him. So in that case, whenever this happens, and you got to keep in mind, this is halftime. We just went in, we made our halftime adjustments, and one of those halftime adjustments was, all right, what can go wrong? Well, what are we going to do if something goes wrong? And we talked about, we got all the offensive coordinators together, we got all the group together, and everybody took a knee, and we said, well, what's going to happen is if something goes wrong, we're going to play the who are you game, which is, of course, an exhibition, not a competition. There are no prizes. We play for funsies. So I don't have to go through all this legal crapola about rules and this and that and the other thing, because there's no prizes. We're just playing for funsies. You can text your response in at 504-260-1870 if you'd care to. And I think this is going to be an interesting one, because I think this goes to tell you about the status of fame and how sometimes you might think you're famous, but you're really not. All right? So with that being in mind, tell me, who are you? So who is that? Because I can tell you this, it's somebody that was on a long-running sitcom that is now in syndication, and it goes to perhaps the fleeting nature of fame, because you would think that this person would be pretty famous and you would know who that was. I'm going to do it again for you just so you can hear it again, all right? Here we go. So you can text it in at 504-260-1870 and let me know who is that. And hopefully we'll talk to J.P. Morrell about the mess that's going on with the city council, not the city council, the mayor and the French Quarter and garbage and the foolishness with the faux emergency, etc. Last week we gave you away tickets to the Saints' first preseason home game against Jacksonville. This week, you can win tickets to see the Saints battle Sean Payton and the Denver Broncos Saturday, August 23rd in the Caesars Superdome. You can score two premium tickets to the game. And entering is a breeze. Just go to WWL.com/contests for your shot at a pair of tickets. Remember, you can enter once per day. You can win tickets to the Saints preseason showdown against the Broncos from Saints Radio WWL. Apparently, that was not as hard as I thought it was going to be, because people did realize that it was Kat Dennings who played with Two Broke Girls that has been around for quite some time. And I thought I'd stump people with that, but apparently not so much. Let's see if we can take a break for traffic early here, regroup, and then come back on WWL. All right, 8:22 and a half. I'm still shocked that everybody knew that was Kat Dennings or Max Black from the show Two Broke Girls. I don't watch a lot of network TV, and it was on like from 2011 to 2017. And I thought it was an obscure soundbite trying to challenge you with a Who Are You game, and I got nowhere. Barry Keim joins us now, LSU health climatologist, to talk about Oh, where we are with hurricane season, August 4th. And, you know, my birthday is in August, Barry, but I guess that's yet another reason to hate August, hurricane season, and the fact that I have another birthday coming up. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. I got a birthday coming up in early September, too, right in the peak of hurricane
season. Oh, Lord
season,
in heaven.
So
there
I
you go.
It.
So let's talk about what's going on right now out there.
Okay, so, well, right now we have three systems we're watching. We actually have Tropical Storm Dexter, which is out in the middle of the Atlantic. Not really a threat to any land areas, but this is our fourth named storm of the season. Mm-hmm. And we have two other suspicious areas, some tropical waves. One's right off the coast of South Carolina. You know, it's given a relatively low chance of doing very much, but we'll keep a watch on it. And then there's another wave coming off of Africa right now. It's way out in the Atlantic. And again, another one we'll just keep an eye on, but that's the one I'm, you know, at least for us, I have at least any concern at all at this point in time. So we'll just keep an eye on these things. There's nothing to worry about at the moment.
What did you say about the one for us, the one off the coast of Africa?
Yeah, that's the one I'll keep a watch on. I mean, I think that, you know, it's relevant to us at this point in time, but it's a long way off and anything can happen. So, you know, nothing to get worried about other than just keep an eye on it.
I'm looking at the cone at the National Hurricane Center, NOAA, whatever it is, and they have it kind of going toward the up in the Atlantic, but you're saying you're not confident in that, or it's too early?
It's just too early. I mean, I have confidence that, that's the best forecast that we have right now, but it's so far out, it's just developing. And, you know, one thing I've learned in the weather business that never say never.
So why does it get so bad in August and September? Is it because the water has had a chance to heat up, or is it because of the winds blowing from here or there? Is it because of what starts off the coast of Africa? Tell me about this.
Yeah, I mean, it's mainly the sea surface temperatures, because those, you know, the hottest point in the year is not when the sun is highest in the sky, because it takes, you know, there's these lags built into the climate mm-hmm. system. So the water temperatures, peak late August into early September, and simply because of that, we get more hurricanes. Now, the Saharan dust starts to slow down a little bit deeper into the season. That's another factor. And, those are the main things, really. But I would argue the sea surface temperature is the main driver. And that those sea surface temperatures just continue to ramp up all the way up until, you know, the early part of September. The statistical peak, by the way, is September the 10th. Mm-hmm. So it's all uphill till the 10th, and then it starts ramping down. But the real heart of the season, the window, I would argue, is mid-August mm-hmm. until about the first week of October.
Mm. Tell me about Saharan dust. What is it that kicks that up, and why is it so important to knocking down the storms or helping us?
Well, this is just, you know, strong winds over the Sahara. It whips up this dust. It gets put up into the high parts of the atmosphere that, you know, and it takes this long. And these are really fine particles, mind you. Very easy to keep in suspension with a little bit of turbulence in the atmosphere. And this dust blows all the way across the Atlantic Ocean, and, you know, occasionally actually comes and messes with the optics here. Mm-hmm. And folks that have, you know, whatever they have their health system compromised for some reason. So that air is extremely dry, for starters. And secondly, it actually changes the thermal structure, the vertical structure of the atmosphere, whereby it makes the higher parts of the atmosphere a little warmer, because it intercepts the sun's rays before it can strike those ocean surfaces. And that stabilizes the atmosphere and prevents the storms from forming. So Saharan dust is technically good for us, but it's better when it's way out over the ocean as opposed to hanging over Louisiana, where it's causing all sorts of respiratory problems.
So where is it now?
Well, I don't think we have any serious issues right now with the Saharan dust. So, and,
no, but
as
I mean,
you can
good
see,
part, the good part of it, is it still coming off? Mm-hmm. Into the Atlantic, or is there something going on in Africa that's shutting that down? That's what I'm trying to figure out here.
Oh, well, as we get deeper into the season, I mean, it's kind of driven by the seasonal cycles, and as we get deeper into the summer season, you know, those winds start to die down a little bit over Africa, and we don't get quite as much of it as we get deeper into the season. But earlier on, the storms over Africa definitely kicked that dust up, and it's more prominent earlier in the season than it is later in the season.
Where do we stand with El Nino, La Nina? Are we in that thing now where we have neither?
Yeah, La Nada, as
El
we
Nido.
Call it.
Okay, there you go. La Nada.
Yeah,
like exactly.
Yeah, we have neither. So we're in neutral conditions. That's, you know, neither good nor bad. I mean, obviously, we want El Niños during hurricane season because it creates extra wind shear to knock the storms down. La Niñas basically put the seasons on steroids. So we have neither. So, but the sea surface temperatures are still well above normal, and we're still expecting an above normal season because of that. So just brace yourself. We're like I said, we're moving into the teeth of the season. Some of the worst storms that have ever hit us seem to come in late August or very, very early September. But we can get hit on the backside of the season, too. So, you know, we always need to be on our A game. But we're getting ready to move right into the buzzsaw. So just be prepared.
Tell me about the importance of getting the weather information from somebody that's reliable and accurate, because they got so much phony stuff out there on social media, and people get spun up and they look at a map and they think they know and they have no idea what they're looking at.
Oh, thank goodness. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, there are a lot of charlatans out in the weather world. You know, social media has propagated this in a major way. So just get your information from trusted sources. I mean, nhc.noaa.gov for hurricanes, that's really the place to go to get all your information. I mean, there are other trusted sources, you know, as long as it's affiliated with the National Weather Service or NOAA in some way, you're getting a good source. But if you got some 16-year-old in his basement, beware in a very major way.
Yeah, it's all it takes to be an influencer. You need an account and a phone. That's all you need, and all of a sudden you're an expert and you know what you're doing, supposedly. Barry, can you give me the all-clear for the next 7 days at least?
We're in good shape for the next 7 days, but I tell you, like I said, the buzzsaw is coming, soon.
I know, and I hate to hear that. I just take it one week at a time. That's all we can do. Thank you, sir. Barry Keim, LSU health climatologist. We'll take a break. We come back. We're going to talk to Deuce McAllister, get his take on the Saints thus far. Right now, time for WWL First News. Y'all may want to get ready, because if Deuce McAllister's, who is scheduled to appear next, is not there, I'm leaving. The poll I had about Texas, apparently people like Texas. They like Buc-ee's. They don't like the Cowboys, though. Not a big fan of the Cowboys at all, but they like Texas. And I know somebody that doesn't like Texas for vacations, because that's where people go to evacuate, and they associate that with hurricanes. However, somebody said the people in Texas are very nice to us when we do evacuate there for, well, not us, but when the people do evacuate for hurricanes. So there you go. Take a break, come back, talk to Deuce McAllister, or Dave Cohen and Ian Ozan will take over when we come back on WWL. 844, 16 till 9. Saints kicking off the preseason, taking on the Chargers. Our coverage starts Sunday morning at 11. Steve Geller, Charlie Long for First Take. 1 o'clock countdown to kickoff with Bobby Hebert. Then game time 3:05. Man, I'm looking forward to this. Turn down your TV, turn up the home team. Deuce McAllister, Mike Haas, Jeff Nowak on the sideline. Then a Cajun Cannon with the point after. 10 hours of wall-to-wall Saints coverage. And Deuce McAllister joins us now. Deuce, you know what a fan I am and how I love listening to you and Haas and Jeff call those games. How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I can't complain too much. Been an interesting week and a half, 2 weeks. The day's kind of lose track of time, to be honest, Tommy, when you're in camp mode, because it seems like, you know, particularly for the players, the days don't change, and it's just, hey, are we out on the field or are we not, you know? And so I can't say that we're in that exact mode, but it feels close to it.
What has impressed you most of what you've seen so far, or worried you most?
There's probably a couple things when you look at it, and I think, you know, not only from a – from a coach's perspective, you always wonder, have you done enough? Are you doing enough? Am I getting guys enough reps to be able to make a true evaluation? And, you know, just point in case, yesterday was probably their longest practice. Well, it was their longest practice out there, particularly in pads. And, you know, I thought in the beginning it was crisp. I thought it was really, really impressive in some of the things that they did. I think it was north of 120 plays, roughly. But as it went on, you saw the execution kind of wane off, and it was almost like guys trying to hold on because it got a little hotter and it got a little tougher. And so that's one thing that they're going to have to kind of continue to push to make sure that, hey, we do have longer practices as we ramp this deal up and you get ready for a game. But, you know, you're always concerned, and it's really because of the CBA and how practices are kind of structured. Do you have enough contact? You know, am I seeing these guys tackle enough, even if it's not thud to the ground? Are you being physical enough? I mean, and so, you know, that's one of the questions that you kind of worry about. And the other part of it is, you know, when being an offensive guy, when the defense does really well, you know, multiple days, you kind of wonder, man, are we that far behind, or is it your defense is that much better than you are? Normally in camp, you know, the defense is kind of pick up things a little bit faster than the offense. And so those are just small things that you kind of wonder, you look at, kind of makes you say, man, I need to see a little bit maybe more from this player, or I need to see a little bit more contact. I need to see guys get tackled. You need to see explosive plays. And so you've had a little bit of that, but of course you want a little bit more.
What does the CBA say in terms of, is it the length of practice, or does it control how many offensive or defensive plays? How does that work, Deuce?
Well, it's the length of practice, and then it controls even how much, how many times that you're in pads. I mean, there's literally a buildup of how many times that you can be in pads and how many times that you can have padded practice in a row. And so it covers a little bit of all of that. And so that's, you know, obviously negotiated by the players and the NFL as far as the NFLPA is concerned. And so I get it. I understand it. But at the same time, you don't want those reps to come for the first time in a game. You would prefer for some of the things that you do to have happened in practice a few times. But, you know, like I said, you've got to kind of abide by the rules. And that's not just the Saints. That's any team. But for the Saints, you know, they're putting together with the new head coach, you know, putting in new schemes, et cetera. So you may need to do a little bit more than some of the other teams that, you know, they have the same head coach. They have players that have been together for the last 2, 3, 4 years or whatever.
From the way the practices are conducted, can you make an evaluation of tackling or not really?
Somewhat. Yeah. I mean,
what have you seen?
Well, no, I'm saying you can see it, but until a guy is brought to the ground, and you know, rarely do they do that.
You're
as
right.
far as tackling to the ground, I can tell you that somebody's in position, but that doesn't mean that he's going to get the guy down.
Right. Let me ask you this: as a back, would you prefer to be tackled for the first time in a game or during practice? I know that might sound dumb. I know you don't want to get injured, but I'm just wondering about contact and all. From your standpoint,
I need contact. Any player, they need contact. They need contact. You would hope that you have contact before a game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because particularly as a ball carrier, I got to know what it feels like to get hit. I need to know what it feels like to get tackled. I mean, and I don't have to get blown up where my helmet and some is broken, but you've got to know what it feels like just from a protection standpoint, just so you can refine, you know, some of the things that you want to do. And so you got to know what that feels like. And, you know, some people may say, well, he's an 8-year, 9-year, 10-year veteran. Yeah, that's great. But, you know, one thing that you can't do is you can't put the ball on the ground. You don't want the ball popping up in the air as far as interceptions, different things of that nature. So, you know, at some point, it may not be every practice that they're in pads, but at some point, you got to know what that feels like.
Helmet, my favorite picture of you. Who needs a helmet? Let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back. Deuce McAllister, the one, the only, our guest, WWL Saints color analyst, former Saints running back. We'll talk defense, quarterback. We come back. Traffic now, WWL. 8:55, 5 till 9. Quickly back to Deuce McAllister, WWL Saints color analyst. We all know who Deuce is. Deuce, the defense finished 31st in the NFL last year. How do you fix that, or how likely is it to be even halfway better?
Halfway better is improvement.
Yeah.
I mean, you've
got to be able
to. But
how likely do you think that is?
No, I think it's definitely very likely. I mean, they've got to be able to stop the run. They've got to be able to climb up. I mean, even if you improve 10 spots, you know, you're hoping that it's way more than 10, but you've got to improve a pretty good amount. And they've brought in, you know, from free agency standpoint to draft picks to be able to help the run game. And then the other part of it is, you know, the Saints offensively, can they get a lead?
Right.
Can they stay ahead, you know, to force teams to have to pass? And so those are all things that work hand in hand. But yeah, you can't be at the bottom half of the NFL, and not only rushing yards as far as yards given up, but total defense as well. I mean, if that's the case, it's going to be a long year.
Because I'm thinking of the Drew Brees days when we would say, you know, all you had to do, B was in the middle of the pack with the offense that we have. I don't think we have that offense now. Let's start with offensive line. What are you seeing?
A group that's still trying to find itself. I mean, you've got a left tackle that, you know, at times he's looked really, really well. I mean, I think he's still picking up the speed, the power of some of the guys that he goes against. And, you know, he's going against some pretty good ones when you talk about Chase Young and Granderson and Cam Jordan. I mean, that's a pretty good trio. And he's seeing those guys, you know, practice daily. And I think that's only going to make him better. And Fuaga has settled in on the right side position that he played in college, played the left side last year for the Saints as far as left tackle. But I mean, he's done well. Trevor's done pretty good as well. I mean, the one thing that you want, you know, to see him be able to use is how physical he is, you know, just be able to use his length and be able to get up on some guys, you know, and that's one thing that will help this group. Can they consistently give the running backs lanes? I think that we're still waiting on the backup running back behind Alvin to kind of truly emerge. And so the game this upcoming week will definitely help those guys. But I mean, I think that you have some talent in that room. And then, you know, from the quarterback standpoint, I think that they've had good and bad days, up and downs. You know, some people will say, well, they're not throwing it vertical enough. And, you know, I think those situations will come. I think that they've done a good job of taking what the defense has given. This defense normally, pretty much at all times, you're going to get an extra guy coming. So you've got to be able to identify, just because it's a three-down look, you've got to be able to identify, hey, where's the pressure coming from? Can we pick it up? And can I still get the ball out? And that's all things that they're trying to work through.
One thing I think that's kind of flown beneath the radar with the quarterback situation is the running back position. Talk about that, if you would.
Yeah, I think it's one that you've got to be able to help Alvin. I mean, I think that's where it comes. You can't expect him to carry the load completely by himself. And so whether it's running back two, you know, and here's the other part of it. Taysom Hill was able to do a lot for you in that short yardage situation. He's not available now just because he's coming off an injury. So there's some opportunity for some guys to step up and say, hey, you know, I want to be the guy that you call upon when it's, you know, maybe a passing situation, not only just third down, but maybe inside runs, and you want to go with a heavier back or a bigger back. And so the opportunity is there for some guys to be able to take advantage of it. And I think that the days that you've had pads, you've seen a little bit of it, but I just need
from
to
whom,
a little bit
Deuce?
More.
From whom?
Well, I think Neil has done well. I think Kendre has done well. You know, even Clyde, you know, Clyde has done a really nice job of being able to, hey, you know, not only runs, but being able to go out there and run some of the routes that you would see normally traditionally from Alvin Kamara. So you've got a pretty nice, diverse room. And I think, you know, it's only going to get better, or it has to get better when they go against another team, because they've been practicing against their own defense for, you know, a while, a couple months now. But, you know, can they show and do that against another team?
How about Cam Akers?
Cam Akers has done well. I mean, I think Cam has done a pretty good job of being able to come off of the injury that he's had in the past and show that he still has some pop. And so Cam's not only, I think, can he make a name for himself as a running back, but he's going to have to be able to make some plays on special teams. And so a lot of those guys as well, when you talk about it, how do I make this team, that's how it's going to be. I can make some plays via my position, but I've also got to make some plays via special teams.
You go at 26, you better wear it well. Thank you, Deuce. I appreciate your time as always. I'm talking about Cam Akers. Deuce McAllister, WWL Saints color analyst and former Saints running back. We'll be listening to him on Sunday. We'll take a break, come back, talk about health insurance costs.